Hello, hello, and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Coming up, we have Dr. John Huber from Mainstream Mental Health with some interesting information for workers. You've heard of the World Health Organization. They have a couple new studies out that show, a couple new dictates, I guess you could say. They say that burnout is now being officially recognized as an illness. This by the WHO. So if you are burnt out from work, you could be deemed ill and maybe take some days off. We'll see what goes along with all that, right? Also, the World Health Organization says video addiction should be deemed a mental health disorder. A lot of people have said this before too, and Dr. Huber has talked about it. We'll see what he has to weigh in on that today. Also, we're heading into June. And that's the big month of weddings, right? He's going to talk about how to cope with a bridezilla, or have you heard of this, groomzilla, and what to do if you are one. So if you have to be in someone's midst and they're sort of going through that whole wedding thing, how to handle them if they get super stressed. So that is ahead with Dr. John Huber. Also, Bart Marcois, a former undersecretary to George W. Bush and career diplomat, will be in. He's our political analyst here, one of them on America Trends, and he's going to talk about the political headlines of the day, including Robert Mueller's big spotlight today. Well, here's what happened. Washington in a tither. Some reason Robert Mueller decided to do a little press conference and speak out about his now completed investigation. The special counsel spoke out about his conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy against President Trump when it came to alleged Russian collusion. And he also stated that charging the president with a crime was not an option that his team could consider per the Constitution. He came on, had this press conference, talked for about 8 minutes, gave a pretty good indication, too, that he is not going to testify to Congress publicly or privately. Democrats foaming at the mouth about this, saying it means Trump should be impeached, of course. However, the White House says, move on, people. And Sarah Sanders tweeted the White House's official statement today that the council has completed the investigation, closed his office, it's done, and has closed the case. Mueller said he has had nothing to add beyond the report and therefore does not plan to testify before Congress. The report was clear, no collusion, no conspiracy, etc. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to listen to some of Mueller's comments today as he explains his process and what he's thinking. And then we're going to come back in a few minutes here on America Trends and talk all about it with Bart Marcois. Take a listen.
First, the opinion explicitly permits the investigation of a sitting president because it is important to preserve evidence while memories are fresh and documents available. Among other things, that evidence could be used if there were co-conspirators who could be charged now. And second, the opinion says that the Constitution requires a process other than the criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. And beyond department policy, we were guided by principles of fairness. It would be unfair to potentially accuse somebody of a crime when there can be no court resolution of the actual charge. So that was Justice Department policy. Those were the principles under which we operated. And from them, we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or the other about whether the president committed a crime. That is the office's final position. And we will not comment on any other conclusions or hypotheticals about the president. We conducted an independent criminal investigation and reported the results to the Attorney General, as required by department regulations. The Attorney General then concluded that it was appropriate to provide our report to Congress and to the American people. At one point in time, I requested that certain portions of the report be released. The Attorney General preferred to make the entire report public all at once. And we appreciate that the Attorney General made the report largely public. And I certainly do not question the Attorney General's good faith in that decision. And as set forth in the report, after that investigation, if we had had confidence that the President clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the President did commit a crime. The introduction to the Volume 2 of our report explains that decision. It explains that under long-standing department policy, a president cannot be charged with a federal crime while he is in office. That is unconstitutional. Even if the charge is kept under seal and hidden from public view, that too is prohibited. The special counsel's office is part of the Department of Justice, and by regulation, it was bound by that department policy. Charging the president with a crime was therefore not an option we could consider.
Special Counsel Robert Mueller came out today and announced he is closing his office and resigning because the investigation is, in fact, indeed over. But he made a few comments that made people on both sides of the aisle, he said this. It's like, sort of like the Laurel Yanni thing. Some people heard one thing, others swear they heard another. The special counsel said his conclusion that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy is what the big part of the report and big thing he wanted to emphasize today. And he said charging the president with a crime was not an option his team could consider because of the Constitution. So many in Congress, many of the Democrats, i.e. Democrats 20-some that are running for president in 2020, on the Democratic side, obviously, are saying, well, this means he's trying to punt it over to Congress to do something to lean more toward impeachment, to do their own investigation. So all these things, our political analyst Bart Marcoise, the former undersecretary to President George W. Bush and career diplomat, is here to weigh in on all this. Bart, welcome back to America Trends. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Amy. It's always great to be with you.
Now, you're in the D.C. area, right? So you're in the midst of all this.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I woke up today and there were breaking news stingers and breathless news anchors, and I thought, what is going on? Why did he, out of nowhere, why did Mueller decide, I'm going to go and have this 8 or 9 minute press conference, say my piece, and why today? This just sort of came all of a sudden.
I loved your intro, Amy, the fact that everybody from both sides see what they want to see. For me, when I saw him up there, he was wearing a blue dress with black stripes across it. I don't care what anybody else
says. Not gold and white like the other.
Not gold and white,
so
no.
True.
He did have to resign sooner or later. Mm-hmm. He's done, it's time to go home. It's the end of the month in which he tendered his report. The timing it today is, that I can see, that's reasonable. But giving the statement he did where he said, listen, I'm not going to be testifying. It's my decision. It's nobody else's. It's my decision. And it's because we chose our words very carefully in that report. And that's my testimony. That's all I have to say. What's in there, we chose it carefully, and we said what we have to say. That makes sense as well. But for him to get up and say, well, you know, we can't say that he didn't commit a crime. Well, no, you can't. That's not what you were hired to do. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a special counsel or a prosecutor make a determination that somebody did not commit a crime. All he was doing was being very artful in stating what is part of permanent legal theory in the United States. The best thing you can hope from a prosecutor is that the prosecutor says, we didn't see any evidence of a crime. We don't have a beyond a reasonable doubt. We cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he committed a crime. Everything else he said, except those last little words, everything else he said pointed to a complete exoneration of the president. And he admitted, he said it was longstanding Justice Department policy. It's also the Constitution that says the solution to the cure for a president that you think has done something wrong is not prosecution, it is removal from office. After he's removed from office, if you think he committed a crime, charge him then. And there's nothing that Mueller said that could be construed to indict the president in any way, except that one little double negative. Well, we couldn't find anything that that would let us prosecute him. And we also didn't find anything that would let us exonerate him. There is nothing that would let them exonerate him. That's not his job.
Mm-hmm. Not his job. Do you think, though, right away, a lot of Democrats, obviously the ones who are running for president, had got their staffs and made all these pronouncements and inserted themselves in the story? Of course they're going to. Do you think Mueller was trying to send any messages with anything he said? Like obviously the Democrats say he's trying to give us an indication we should impeach, which they've been saying forever. And again, Bart, big picture, a lot of people are saying the Democrats don't really want to impeach Trump because send him right back into office in 2020. He'll be a martyr. They just want us to think that he should be impeached.
That's exactly right. And he was trying to send a message. The message was subliminally, I think I saw him blinking his eyes in Morse code saying, I hate Trump, I hate Trump, I hate Trump. He just hates Donald Trump. Look at the staff that he chose. Out of 16 prosecutors, was it? There were 13 that had donated to Trump. I might be mixing my numbers up there. Donated to Hillary Clinton. An unbelievable number of very partisan people, for people that work in the Justice Department, in places like Justice and State, they're what we in Washington call super hatched, meaning they're covered not only by the Hatch Act but by the most extreme interpretation of the Hatch Act. The Hatch Act is the law that says a federal employee cannot campaign for a federal office, either in his or her own right or on behalf of another person. And while you don't give up your First Amendment rights, you are, by condition of your employment, barred from endorsing a candidate for office or otherwise campaigning for one. You may donate, but it's very rare to see anybody in the Department of Justice make a political donation. We had about a dozen attorneys who had donated to Hillary on that. He approved all of those. He knew they hated Trump, and he hired them anyway.
It's all too much. It's why they call it a swamp. The Hatch Act, notwithstanding, there's so much that's inherently contradictory about that, where people do, you know, submit and say, this is who I like, and it just can't be denied. We're going to see Trump's response to this and the White House's reaction when we come back with Bart. Well, all the other news has been wiped off the front pages or the top of the hour for all the network news 24-hour cycles that we see all the time these days. And it's all about Mueller stepping out and having his little 8-minute press conference where he said, talked a little about his process of going through the investigation, which was, you know, a couple years. And we're here with Bart Marquise to talk about it. And just chatting about President Trump right away, Bart had his response where he said nothing changes from the Mueller report. There was insufficient evidence, and therefore in our country a person is innocent. The case is closed. Thank you, he wrote.
He's absolutely right. And before the break, you referenced the 2020 Democrats going out hastily trying to get themselves on the news.
And oh, sure.
You know, I couldn't have asked for a better metaphor for what they were doing than the poor sap who set himself on fire on the White House lawn.
Yeah, what was his deal today?
I have no idea. But here's the thing. You know, I have little sympathy anyway. People are going to hate me now for being this honest. I have little sympathy for people who set themselves on fire unless they are, you know, they know they want to die a martyr. This guy was wearing a protective suit all over his body. He was wearing a, what they call it in that movie, The Princess Bride, a Holocaust cloak. Well, that he thought he was going to be safe and be like the Dread Pirate Roberts and go out there and set himself on fire and make a dramatic statement and not be hurt. Well, maybe he didn't zip it up or he bought it, at a discount, but it didn't work. And he's burned over 85% of his body, and he's not likely to survive. And I feel sorry for the guy.
Oh, gosh.
Because he made a miscalculation. And what he really wanted, clearly, was attention. He got up, He lit himself on fire, and then he got up and walked around calmly for a while. So he wasn't frightened. He wasn't meditating. He was looking for attention. And luckily for him, the Secret Service put him out, the police put him out and took him away. I doubt he's going to live. But I made a little joke. I thought maybe it was Beto O'Rourke trying to get some coverage since he's losing it.
Right, yeah.
That these kinds of stunts looking for attention are a great metaphor of what's going on in our country.
Well, you're so right, Bart.
24 people running for president and you know, not more than 3 or 4 of them have an actual chance, including, I think, the front runner on the Democrat side, the current front runner, Joe Biden. I don't think he has a chance, but they're out there now using the Mueller speech as their metaphorical gasoline to try to bring attention to themselves.
That's so true. Did you happen today, when this started coming down, hear what any of the Democratic contenders had to say when they were responding? Or was it just what I was trying to listen to the news and I heard Kamala Harris says blah, blah, blah. Like every time they tried to explain what someone was saying, it was blah, 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 boring speech writing.
I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I did hear that Gerald Nadler came out and you know, gave a nice little speech. He read a statement and then he read it again. And each time they asked him a question, I think he read his statement again.
Well, that was a Laurel and Yanni thing, Bart. He is, of course, the House Judiciary Chair. He said, though, the Department of Justice policy prevented the special counsel from bringing criminal charges against the president. The special counsel has clearly demonstrated the president is lying.
Go on, impeach him, Jerry. Go on.
We dare you.
Go ahead, impeach him.
We dare you.
It's ridiculous. There are so many things going on that need attention, and we still have 70,000 people a year dying from opioid overdoses, more than in the entire Vietnam War are dying every year, and they're sitting on their hands doing nothing. We have 100,000 people a month coming illegally across our borders. Mm-hmm. We have diseases that we thought were eradicated from the United States coming back because people who carry them are coming into the country at the rate of over 1 million a year, and they're doing nothing about it. And they want to hold impeachment proceedings. They want to hold hearings. They want to hold investigations. Do your job. Yeah. Nobody voted for Mueller. You know, I don't remember seeing Mueller campaign badges in 2016 or 2017. Nobody wanted him, and nobody voted for him. Nobody confirmed him from the Senate. He was appointed by the president, and he could be fired by the president. The president forbore any kind of interference. The president cooperated. He encouraged witnesses to cooperate. They collectively gave thousands of hours of testimony, White House people that he could have invoked executive privilege to say no. Where's the obstruction? Where's the criminal activity? Of what crime does Mueller suspect Trump?
Yeah.
On the face of it, it's just partisan anger and hatred.
It's like a magic trick where they say, look over here, but over here, they really want you to ignore the border and ignore opioids and ignore the real work they should be doing. And they just want to light a match over here at Trump and have all the attention put there and make everybody think, Trump's doing something bad. Everyone should be talking about this right now. And just to go over, we talked about some of the numbers. And our friend Charlie Kirk, conservative commentator, he posts this about every day on Twitter. 675 days of the Mueller probe. 35, what is that? Is that $35 million?
It was actually $47 million, but who's counting?
500 witnesses, 2,800 subpoenas, and there's still what Mueller himself called insufficient evidence. Maybe it's because the crime doesn't exist and you can't obstruct justice for a crime that doesn't exist. Case closed, right?
Yes. Yeah, everybody now is starting to learn the name Lavrentiy Beria, the secret police, the chief of secret police for Joseph Stalin. And his favorite dictum was, show me the man and I'll show you the crime.
Show you the crime.
Yeah.
There's no better mantra for what's been happening these past 2 years. And you have to say, too, what do you think Russia's thinking? They love to disrupt democracy. They want to disrupt, they want to discredit democracy so their people won't have it. I mean, last laugh, I guess.
Oh, yes. That's the biggest laugh of all is what's being had in the halls of the Kremlin. Vladimir Putin is just thrilled. He won the lottery. He believed, like everybody else in the world, that except for me and my family and a handful of friends, believed that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president. Everything the Russians did, Mueller made some very solid points about Russian attempts to interfere in the election. The attempts did not succeed, by the way, but they did make the attempts. Everything they did was aimed at producing a weakened President Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. And when she lost, you could see Putin shaking in his boots. Back then, I was following the news out of Russia fairly closely, mm-hmm. because I had a client interested in that matter. So I had somebody, give me a daily digest of the news from Russia, and it was fascinating to watch the state-run media quiet for 3 weeks, waiting for directions on what to say. They were terrified when Trump won. And then suddenly the American media started this collusion story, and the Russian media jumped in, and Putin jumped in and said, yeah, well, it was me. I did it.
At least Mueller, with talking to Bart Marquis about Mueller's big press conference, he started by talking about Russia, ended talking about Russia, which is the crux of it. We're going to find more out about what you're talking about on OpsLens.com. Bart Marquis, a writer there. See you next time. Welcome back to America Trends. I am Amy Fuller. You are with the Youth to America TV Network and or Biz Talk Radio. Glad to have you along. Hey, we love it when the World Health Organization weighs in on what they think are the new and improved, mental disorders, mental curiosities and things. And there are a couple new ones that are hitting the news this week that we just thought were just interesting. Turns out the World Health Organization is saying that burnout, job burnout, I assume, is now officially recognized as an illness. We knew that, right? And also that video addiction should be classified as a mental health disorder. So a couple interesting things about that. Also, we're with Dr. John Huber from Mainstream Mental Health chatting about this today. Dr. John, how are you?
I'm amazing, Amy. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you. Oh, are you standing right in the middle of Times Square there?
Absolutely. Getting ready for Comic Strip Live on Sunday, June 9th.
Seriously, I saw Newsboys when it was on. It's pretty good. The little marquee behind you. We're also going to chat. I want to mention in the next segment, we're heading into June. And,
yes.
It's probably inherent for some people to turn into, June is a big month for weddings, and into bridezillas. We've heard what that means. Or a groomzilla. As I'm hearing, there's a new term, and just to get way too into yourself and too precious about everything should be perfect, and you just turn into a bit of a monster, I guess, is how it is. So I know that you wanted to chat about how to handle it. You might be in the wedding party or a family member with someone who's doing that, and you've just got to handle them. It's their special day and special time. And you're also going to talk to us about what to do if you think you might be turning into a bridezilla. So that's really interesting. So when did you hear this new information coming out from the World Health Organization saying that burnout should be recognized? And, it's great because it just puts a spotlight on mental health, right?
Well, actually, yeah, I think it does. And actually, the burnout just actually came out yesterday on the 28th, I believe. And, now the video game, when we've been talking about for about a year and a half,
right,
now with World Health Organization. And, it's interesting how quickly the World Health Organization is able to do this because, here in the States, our primary diagnostic measure is the diagnostic, the DSM,
yeah.
Diagnostic Manual. And the difference between that is, for example, the last time the DSM came out, it was in litigation for almost 11 years before it got released because so many people had, oh, no, you can't say this about this, and we don't like this diagnostic criteria. So I think it's amazing that the World Health Organization is able to sit down with a conference and a committee and just make it happen. So that's pretty awesome.
Can I ask you, going back to the DSM, because I hear this, and every few, is it, Doc, is it every year, every few years, they make a new DSM with new criteria, new updates?
It's about every 10 years. That's when they try to do that. And, you know, some of it has to do with census data, and we can get more information and things like that. But, again, you know, the third or fourth edition, it took, you know, about 5 or 6 years of litigation. This last one took almost 11 years of litigation. So it's they're coming further and further apart now. So I think there's a lot to do with this. I think, for example, if we try to put in this gaming addiction, I think we're going to have a lot of game manufacturers who are going to put their 2 cents in and try to sue to get certain things put in place and try to make themselves not liable or something for what may be happening. I imagine that there are lots of lawyers out there and lots of game manufacturers who'd like to have some input on that.
The lawyers are the real winners here. You know, sometime we should do a segment just on the DSM, the history of it. I mean, do you know when the first DSM came out?
Off the top of my head, I can't tell you. I know the third one was in the 80s.
Okay, that gives a good indication.
So, and that one was, you know, it wasn't until about halfway through that in the revision that we even believed that kids could get depressed in the 80s. So before then, it was, you know, kids can't get depressed. That's not a diagnosis for kids. And, of course, we know better now, but, man, it's pretty amazing.
You know, it gives me pause because I think about, again, this is a great thing to spotlight mental health. And the more we say to people, you know, these are things that could be affecting you, that you could, you know, get some help, talk to somebody. And it's not just, you know, a thing that you have to live with or deal with. Again, putting the spotlight on mental health. But Doc, you and I sometimes do laugh about, you know, things on the fringes. Do you wonder sometimes in 10 or 20 years what might be in the DSM that you might get a chuckle at?
Oh, you know, it may be crazy. I know with the ICD, you know, with the ICD-10 we have, there's actually one for being bitten.
Wait, what's ICD-10? Talk to us in English.
That is the version of DSM that the World Health Organization does, and it's used universally throughout the world.
Okay.
So if you're in Japan and you get a mental health diagnosis, they can give an ICD-10 code, and when you come to the United States, they can look up the code and they know what diagnosis you've been given. And we use it here for billing purposes, not so much for diagnostic criteria. Now, I use it diagnostically in the courtroom, but then oftentimes I have to go back and re-educate the judges on what that means in the DSM.
Well, that's great. They have it streamlined for different countries. Okay, so burnout. So how should I feel if I wake up tomorrow and I'm just like, I just can't do it anymore? Do I just call in and say, Doc, I need a note for the boss? I need to bring it in and say I'm just too burnt out and I need, you know, I need a minute.
Well, with both of these diagnoses, the video game and the burnout, there's something we have to look at and something that it should be a red flag that, yes, you need help. And that is your ability to function. Are you able to maintain your employment? Are you dropping out of school because of these things? Are you breaking up with your wife? You're no longer involved with your family. You hide in a closet all the day. You know, those types of things. Is your world functioning just falling apart? And that's what you need to be looking for, because as that functionality happens, you become more adapted to your environment and people see a normal person. But as you lose that functionality, that's when we start having problems. And that's the red flag right there, regardless of whether it's depression or rage disorder or burnout.
There's so much that goes into it. You barely know where to start asking questions, Dr. Huber, because I'm sure for decades people have taken personal days or sick days and said, you know, I've got the flu, and really they just can't handle another day. And they just need, you know, a few minutes a day to recharge, rejuvenate. You know, after you leave work, you've probably got family, charity, community obligations. And if you do take that day to sort of recharge, you could be better at your job, perhaps, and bring the joy back a little bit. So it's all just sort of comes down to semantics sometimes, I suppose.
Absolutely. You know, and there was some data out several years ago that said the average American, I think 70% of us work for small businesses, you know, family-owned businesses and things like that. And a lot of them, if they're informed of this information, if the business owners know this, you know, I know several of my friends who have businesses, and they allow their employees some leeway. You're having a problem? Hey, come in Tuesday, but make it up. Work a couple hours extra day for the other 4 days and make it up. Work, you know, 4 10-hour days instead of 5 8-hour days.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, because then they're working at a time when other businesses aren't calling them on the phone, and maybe they're not having customers coming in the door and things like that. And they actually are more productive in a lot of times, and they get that extra day of rest.
Yeah. And use your common sense. Any boss has certainly been a worker at some point and knows what's going on. But if you're just a degenerate employee, that's just not going to fly. But, you know, most bosses will understand, you know, people needing something sometime.
Well, that also assumes that your boss is open-minded and it isn't on some kind of power trip, too, where they know, do what I say. That's the way it works.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other thing. Yep. Mark that for another segment. Okay, we're going to come back and talk. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about video addiction, because I know we've talked. That's just such an interesting concept and just such a trending thing. And also, Bridezilla or Groomzilla, how to handle it. We come back with Dr. Huber. Mama said, everywhere we go, girl, you're the star of the show. And everybody's wondering and wanting to know what's your name. Well, your favorite thing, your best hobby, may be playing videos. My goodness. But the World Health Organization is now saying that video addiction should be a mental health disorder. But what is addiction? How do we know? Well, that guy's probably addicted. He fell asleep at the wheel, didn't he? Dr. John Huber with Mainstream Mental Health. This is a nonprofit out of Texas. If you could go there and click around and use some of his resources, it could really behoove you. And it would bless him to know that he is helping you. He does this all with his day jobs and his family and his karate, right, Doc?
Absolutely.
If you want to support him, just click at the top with donate now, because that could really go a long way. And, you know, he does all the hard, tough work. All you have to do is hit a button and maybe send a little PayPal payment, right? So, Doc, video addiction, we've talked about it so much, but, you know, I know we've talked about social media addiction. How many hours is too much when it comes to video addiction?
Well, all we know is that if you have non-goal-directed behavior. So,
wait, non-goal-directed behavior. Okay.
Yeah. So you're in front of a computer screen and it's non-goal-directed. In other words, you don't have like a research paper you're working on, or you're not doing a spreadsheet and balancing your taxes, whatever's going on that way.
It's just Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. You know, you're playing. There's goals within the game, but it doesn't do anything for your real life. What we know is that within about 2 hours, you start exhibiting and displaying depressive behavior. In fact, the CDC has come out and said that 2 hours or more of that non-goal-directed social media type game activity is causal for depression. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the limit. I think if you're involved in those kinds of things, you need to monitor yourself and watch that 2 hour time frame. Now, does that mean every single day if you get a bunch of friends over and y'all are playing games, you can't sit there and do that all afternoon? Well, that becomes a different situation. Now you've got other individuals in the room with you and you're interacting. And, you know, and the same could be said for some of the games where you have local friends that you know and you're actually talking to. And in fact, my kids like to play some of these games, but they Skype with their friends while they're playing, so they can see the faces of their friends on their Skype on the monitor next to the game. And they're actually interacting with other human beings, not just the game or other human beings they've never met before on the other side of the world. So that's what those are some things that you need to take into consideration, and then go back to that functionality we were talking about. You know, if you are functioning and you're able to keep your job and you're not failing in school and you still have a family life and you know who your kids are and you know who your spouse is, you know, which are important things, you're probably doing okay. But the problem is when people can't limit themselves, they can't say, okay, I need to get up and walk away from this. I've been on here for 2 hours. I've been on here for an hour and a half, whatever. That's when you need to be cautious. Now, sure, we say that because when you look at kids, their brains aren't fully developed until their mid-20s. So putting those limits in place is not something that their brain is really designed to do. Their brain is engaged in learning and trying to find out everything they can about their environment. So what happens is it's just soaking everything in, and it's not really monitoring itself that way. So that's when parents need to step in. And if you can't do it, you know, that way, then there's apps you can get for your phones, for your laptops, for your desktop computer, for games. They're available for your Wi-Fi, yeah. So you don't even have to put anything on the kids' computer. You can just put it on your Wi-Fi, and it will turn things off after a certain number of minutes.
Well, I love that. I was just going to ask you about how do parents help police the kids and keep an eye on it, and you answered that. But when it comes to adults, too, you know, you work a full day and have, you know, all these obligations. You're allowed to come home and decompress and play if you want. So really appreciate the pointers there, Doc. Now, let's get to June, big right. month for weddings. How to cope with, I love that you sent this topic, how to cope with a bridezilla or groomzilla. And do you need an example? Let's go no further than to a Real Housewives franchise. Take a look.
I want only dairy and gluten-free options. And the environment needs to be the expensive environment. But I also want, like, really nice gifts.
I'm sure.
She's registering at Hermes and Versace.
Wait, I didn't make that up.
That's the truth.
I don't think I've ever seen a bridezilla as bad as Danielle. She thinks that, you know, since it's her third wedding.
And 20th engagement.
Yeah, 20th engagement, that she has to go back to, you know, doing this amazing wedding.
Danielle is known for her parties. I've known of Danielle for 20 years, peripherally. I mean, she would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on parties. This is nothing new for Danielle.
And I should be throwing her this unbelievable bridal shower. And meanwhile, she won't even give me the guest list. She won't give me everybody's email. I mean, I don't know who's coming. Meghan Markle? I mean, it's like the royal wedding.
This might be the first party that I'm ever very happy not to be invited to.
You've got to be loving The Real Housewives. That's just last season. Doc, by the way, that's Danielle Staub. They're speaking of The Real Housewives of New Jersey. She and the guy already separated and or divorced. I don't even know. Whoops.
Awesome. Well, and that's what I want to remind people about, you know, is that 50% of marriages end in divorce. And the important thing to remember is the other 50% end in death. So do you really want to stir stuff up?
Wait, God, John, Doc, you just there goes the day for me. It's just, what a downer. You're supposed to be helping us here.
Well, you know, it depends. It could be a slow death.
So we've got this bridezilla, you know, but the thing is, it's so funny, Doc, that's so funny. But truthfully, I think weddings, putting one of the most stressful things you can do, because you're heading into a new life anyway with a new guy or a new girl. Then you've got all this planning and you want to make your friends happy. I mean, you're going to be stressed. How do you know if you've gone too far and you've turned into a said bridezilla or groomzilla?
Well, you need to think about why you're actually doing the wedding. You know, is this wedding for you, the bride, the groom, or is this for everybody else? And you know, I think when you start thinking about everybody else, you're taking away the meaning of the marriage in and of itself. In fact, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a very small service and then maybe having a big party and just have everybody come out and celebrate your life together, period. You don't have to get all involved in that. Unfortunately, you know, we get influenced by family members, grandparents, mothers, and, you know, my wife and I had the same situation where we were going to have a small little service and then have a party. And of course, her grandparents were like, no, you got to have this big wedding and everything else.
Oh, God.
And we turned around and told them, well, okay, we're going to do that, but we're getting married at 9 o'clock in the morning. And everybody threw a fit. And I'm like, look, we're getting married at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's Texas, the middle of July. It's going to be 110 by 11. You know, the people we care about will show up. And we ended up having three times the guest list show up at 9 o'clock in the morning for us. So we had an amazing time.
Dog, that's so great. You know, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is we didn't get to what to do if you have to be around them. So I think we should talk about this again next week. But we're out of time for now. Doc, thank you so much for all this. It's been a great pleasure. And God bless all the bridezilla and groomzillas out there. Doc, we'll see you next week, okay?
Absolutely, definitely.
really glad to have had you along here for America Trends. I think both Bart and Dr. Huber were a little off the chain today and a lot of fun, right? Bart Marcois, former undersecretary to George W. Bush, here to talk about political headlines, which the big one is. Mueller coming out, the former, former special counsel. He resigned today, said his office is closing down, but he made some comments about his investigation that, the Democrats made them think we need to impeach Trump. He's punting it to Congress to tell us that we need to do a job there. So, everyone heard something a little different. But the White House says case closed. He didn't say anything we didn't hear in his report that he sent back about 6 weeks ago. So that is trending up and down Twitter, of course. Also, Dr. John Huber of Mainstream Mental Health was here to talk about how to avoid being a bridezilla or a groomzilla and just be too stressed if you are heading into your season for your matrimonial discourse, whatever you're doing. And then also the World Health Organization saying burnout is a mental disorder, or should be classified as something you should have days off for. And then video game addiction, look at this guy, should definitely be classified as a mental disorder. How much is too much? Okay, great to have them on. Appreciate them. Finally tonight, trending on YouTube, DC Universe's Swamp Thing is released this Friday, and we have your first look as we say goodbye for now.
There's a situation back in the States.
Where? You're kidding.
How long has it been since you were home?
A while.
We don't know what this is yet. The hospital is on it 24/7 and the CDC.
My name is Dr. Abby Arcane. My team is here to find the source of this disease.
Saw the body. Dealt with anything like that before?
Who are you again?
Holland.
Alec Holland was investigating illegal dumping on the swamp.
Hello?
Dr. Jason Woodrue.
The CDC's in town. There is no way that my accelerant is responsible.
There's this poison coming off the swamp.
You should be dead!
There's been a shift in the balance of the light and the dark. Something's out there.
We're dealing with something beyond the known scope of science.
I need it alive to study.
There is all kinds of awful that happens in this swamp.
There's something special about this place.
There's so much unimaginable beauty out there, Abby.
The swamp had enough! This is payback!